This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everyone. Tonight's show is sponsored by a good friend, David Kay, as a Suda Saida for the miracle that Hashem performed for him. May he have Simcha Sanachas Ad B'Yaskol Tzadak. Okay, welcome back everyone. I want to speak a little bit about the Koyach of the blessing that is latent in the Zman of Sfiras HaOmer. And speak about the blessing on Sfiras HaOmer itself. We all know, like before any mitzvah, before we're mekayim in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, we make a bracha. The same way we make a bracha before we're mekayim almost any mitzvah. Before you put on tefillin, you make a bracha. Before you put on tzitzis, you make a bracha. Before you sit in the sukkah, before you eat matzah. Whenever you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha. And likewise, Sfiras HaOmer, before you count, hayoim yoim, You know the joke. There's a couple, Bali Tshuva. So the husband asked the wife, you know, what's for supper? So she was very firm. She said, last night we had chicken. You know, so, but we know that when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, we make a bracha like by any mitzvah. Anyway, the Rambam comes, and the Rambam who, interestingly, brings Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer in, not in Zmanim, not when it comes to Hilchos Shavuos or Hilchos Pesach. The Rambam brings Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer in Hilchos Tmidin U'Musafin. The Rambam says in Parag Zayin Halacha Chafei, V'tzarach levarach b'chol layla, baruch ato Hashem leikeinu melech haolam, asher kedushanu b'mitzvayso v'tzivanu, al Sfiras HaOmer. Which already is interesting. Well, the Rambam has to tell you what the bracha on Sfira is. Does the Rambam say by every mitzvah what the language, by sukkah, the Rambam tells you what bracha to make on the sukkah, by tefillin, the Rambam. So it's interesting that the Rambam articulates what the nusach ha-bracha is. And then he says, mana, if you counted, v'loy birech, and you didn't make the bracha, yatsa, you're yotze. Which is a pele, why the Rambam needs to say that. Of course you're yotze. A bracha is not ma'akev the mitzvah. Person puts on tefillin, doesn't make a bracha, you're yotze 1,000%. There's nothing deficient in the kiyam ha-mitzvah. Somebody sits in the sukkah and they don't make a bracha. They forgot to make a bracha, but there's nothing deficient in the kiyam ha-mitzvah. The Rambam, not every time the Rambam talks about the performance of a mitzvah, does the Rambam have to say, by the way, if you fulfill the mitzvah and you didn't make a bracha, you're mekayim the mitzvah. Why by sfiro does the Rambam say, if you counted and you didn't make a bracha, you're yotze? Why does the Rambam need to say that? And then the Rambam says further, ve'ein ha-chayzer mavarech, meaning, if you davened early, let's say you davened Marev right after Shkia. So let's say you counted before the Tzeis HaKechavim, for those who do that. Then now you want to count Bezmano, you want to count after Tzeis. You don't make a bracha. Why? Because you're a Yotze. No kidding, you're a Yotze. Why does the Rambam have to say you don't make a bracha? Meaning this whole statement of the Rambam is superfluous. Why would the Rambam have to say if you counted and you didn't make a bracha, you're a Yotze? Of course you're a Yotze. And why would the Rambam have to say, and if you count without a bracha, you don't need to count again with a bracha? Of course not, you're yotze the mitzvah. For example, if somebody ate matzah the first night of Pesach, and he forgot to make a bracha, you don't eat again with a bracha, you're ready yotze the mitzvah. There's nothing you could do. You can't make a bracha. So why is the Rambam articulating this? It goes without saying. This is the question of Hagoyin Rav Moshe Shapiro in the Sefer Afik Emayim. Rav Moshe Shapiro, one of the great Bali Machshava of this last generation. And he says very simply that the reason why the Rambam articulates this is because there is a dissenting view. There is actually a dissenting view that seems to hold that if somebody counted without a bracha, you could count again with a bracha, which is a pela atzuma, but there is such a view, and that's the view of the Talmud Muvak of Rashi, the Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri holds that if you counted without a bracha, you could count again with a bracha. Which is a pella. I was already yotze the mitzvah. How could I say v'tzivanu? I'm not mitzvah. I already did the mitzvah. The Machzor Vitri says you could. And that's why the Machzor Vitri paskins. Somebody who davens mi ba'oid yoim, if you daven, let's say, Marev before the Tzeis HaKechavim, you count without a bracha, mimanav shach, and you make some kind of stipulation, which we don't really do, but the Machzor Vitri says you could do it. He says like this, if I remember at night to count, I'll count again and I'll make a bracha. And it won't be a bracha vato because I didn't make a bracha the first time. If I don't remember to count, at least I counted. So the Machzor Vitri says if you daven early, you count without a bracha. And then after the Zman, you count with a bracha. And that Vudraham brings, but the Rambam says this is not correct. That the Rambam paskins, if you count it without a bracha, it sounds like even if you count it without a bracha before the Zman, you're Yotze and you don't make a bracha again. So therefore, says Rav Moshe Shapiro, we understand why the Rambam needs to articulate. If somebody counted and didn't make a bracha, you're Yotze, and you don't make a bracha again, because the Machzor Vitri argues, there are Rishonim that argue, there are Rishonim that hold, that if you count without a bracha, count again with a bracha. And therefore the Rambam says, no, that's not my viewpoint. My viewpoint is, if you count without a bracha, you count again, there's no reason to count again.
Holding is midrabbanan, so what's the holding?
The Rabbanan are also important. Right? The rabbis are also important.
What's his basis?
Why are the rabbis important?
No, what's the Rambam's basis that you don't have to...
Well, the Rambam seems to be the more clear pshat, because we all know that a bracha is not part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So if I fulfill the mitzvah, why would you do it again with a bracha? I already was mekayim the mitzvah. The chiddush is the machzor vitri.
But how does he know that you fulfilled it without saying the bracha?
Because we know it's a well-known rule in Shas that brachos are not ma'akev. You know, let's say a woman lit the candles Friday night. She didn't make a bracha. She's yotze. So you put on tefillin, didn't make a bracha. You're yotze. Bracha is not a bracha is not needed for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the Rambam is the more simple pshat. If you count it without a bracha, you're yotze. You don't have to do it again with a bracha. But what we would like to explain is what's the pshat in the Machzor Vitri. Why would the Machzor Vitri say if you count it without a bracha, you could count again with a bracha? I already was yotze the mitzvah. So now I want to bring to your attention another interesting shita in the mitzvah of Siras HaOmer, which would also lend to the following idea. What we're learning is that maybe there's a notion that when it comes to Siras HaOmer, the bracha is not merely a birchas HaMitzvah. Somehow part of the kiyam HaMitzvah is the bracha. Maybe what we're learning is that even though when it comes to every other mitzvah, the bracha is just a preparation for the mitzvah, the bracha of Sira is part of the mitzvah. Let's give another illustration of this. The Magen Avraham brings down a shita that when you count Sira, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, L'kenu Mechaylam, Asher Kedashanu, B'mitzvahis V'tzivanu, Asfira So'oimer, Shehayoim, Yoim Shloisha Yomim Lo'oimer. Not Hayoim Shloisha Yomim Lo'oimer, Shehayoim Shloisha Yomim Lo'oimer. And the Magen Avraham says, don't say that. Because if you say that, that implies that I'm commanded to count the Omer because tonight is the third, as if somehow the bracha and the fulfillment of the mitzvah are connected, and the Magen Avraham says, don't say that. Don't say Shehayoim Yoim. Say, you make a bracha, and then you fulfill the mitzvah. But don't connect the bracha to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Likewise, the Taz says, don't say Shehayoim. But if the Magen Avraham and the Taz say, don't say Shehayoim, obviously, there is a legitimate position to say it. Otherwise, there's no need to say not to say it. But comes the Chayk Yaakov. The Chayk Yaakov was Rabbi Yaakov Reischer. Rabbi Yaakov Reischer wrote the Ion Yaakov on the Ein Yaakov. He wrote the Torah Sashlamim on Hilchos Nida. He wrote Shalos Tshuvos Shavus Yaakov. And on Hilchos Pesach, he wrote the Chayk Yaakov. And he says, even though the consensus of the Achroinim is not to say Shehayoim, but the truth is, if somebody says Shehayoim, they're not off. They're not making a mistake. You have what to rely on. The Roikeach, the Tanya, not to be confused with the Tanya. The Tanya, nothing to do with the Balatam, one of the Rishonim. There's a Sefer, I believe it's a summary of the Shibboleth Halakha. It's called the Sefer HaTanya, written by one of the Italian Rishonim from the Anav family. There's a tradition that Titus exiled from Yerushalayim four prestigious families. One of them was the Anav family, from which the Shibboleth Halakha comes. Also, the Sefer Tanya of the Rishon came from this family. They all say, you could say Shehayoim.
Well, how did the Shehayoim get into the Torah?
Oh, and why would you say Shehayoim? The pshat is, blessed are you Hashem, that you sanctified us, and you commanded us to count the Omer, because tonight is the third night of the Omer. Somehow, again, this gerusa, this approach is saying that the bracha is incorporated into the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So the question is, what is the connection between the bracha and the kiyam HaMitzvah? By the way, the Ber Hetev seems to paskin that this approach to the Chayk Yaakov is a legitimate approach. And he brings it down halacha that if somebody wants to say Shehayom, you're not making a mistake. It's not a crazy thing to do. So let's discuss the following. The Gemara Megillah on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So that means next week's blot in the Daf HaShavua, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Next Monday night, we're going to learn Braisa from Shem ben Elazar. Ezra was the Navi Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im. He enacted Takana that certain Kriyas HaTorahs have to be laned at certain times. So he enacted that we know there are two Taichachas, right? Azriel, where are the two Taichachas? Okay, good. That these two Taichachas have to be read at two specific strategic locations. B'chukaisai, we lane it before Shavuos, and Kisavai, we have to lane before Rosh Hashanah. This was the Takan of Ezra, and this is what we do. 2 weeks before Shavuos, meaning before Shavuos, we lane Bamidbar, but the week before that, we lane B'chukaisai, and 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we lane Kisavai. Tosfos asks, why don't we do it immediately before? Tosfos says, we don't want to get the klalos too close to Rosh Hashanah, so we give a little bit of a buffer zone, but it always has to, B'chukaisai has to go before Shavuos, and Kisavai has to go before Rosh Hashanah. So Gemara asks, Bishlama, Kisavai goes before Rosh Hashanah. There's a rule. Tichle Shana v'kaloisel. We want the year to end with its klalos. You know, on all the calendars it says, Tichle Shana v'kaloisel. Let the year end with its klalos. But why do you have to lane b'chukaisai before Shavuos? Shavuos is not a new year. So Gemara says, no, Shavuos is a new year. Like the Mishnah says, Ba'atzeres, Alperoi, So'ilan. So Shavuos is the new year for fruits. By the way, the Shlach HaKadosh says it's a remez to Chidushei Torah. That's a new year for Chidushei Torah. So since Shavuos is a new year, we need to get the Teichecha in before the new year. So it's very interesting that we specifically have to get in which Teichecha? The Teichecha of B'chukaisai. Somehow we can't have a Shavuos and we can't conclude Sfira until we get out the Teichecha of B'chukaisai. You know, why is this so critical? To get out the Teichecha of B'chukaisai before Shavuos. Okay, Rabbi Sai, here it is. The Gemara you've all been waiting for.
Are they the same word?
No. In fact, the Teichecha in Kisavai has double the number of klalos that the Teichecha in B'chukaisai has. Says the Gemara, Yavama Samach Beis Mabez, this is the seminal Gemara for this time of the year. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. They extended, they occupied the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael from Gavas until Antiparas, and they all died at one time because they didn't treat each other nicely, and the world was desolate until Rabbi Akiva went to the sages in the south. And they were, Rabbi Yisai, who were they? You remember the mnemonic? Maisha, Mem Yud Yud Shin Aleph, right? Rav Meir, Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, and Rav Elazar ben Shamua. By the way, the Talmidei Hagra have a different gersa. Talmidei Hagra say that Rav Elazar ben Shamua was not the fifth Talmud. The fifth Talmud was Rav Nechemia. And the remez is, V'nishkafa apnei ha-yeh-shimayin. The word yeshimayin is Rosh Tevois, Yehuda, Shimon, Yossi, Meir, Nechemia. That's the remez of Rav Menachem Mendel Mishkolav. Okay, but be it as it may, Rabbi Akiva taught these five Talmidim, and they restored the Torah, and they all died between Pesach and Shavuos. Why? Why did they die now? Now is the healthiest time of the year. You know the Gemara says in Shabbos, all drinks that you drink between Pesach and Shavuos are healthy. The Gemara says water is very healthy during this time of the year. It becomes an elixir of life. In fact, the Chasam Sofer brings that the Chodesh Iyar is Rosh Tevis, Ani Hashem Reifecha. It's a very healthy time. So why are they dying this time? It's such a healthy time. Why would they die now? How many students did Rabbi Akiva have? 24,000 students. Hafla v'fela, you look throughout Tanakh, and there's another instance where the number 24,000 appears, and another instance where 24,000 great people died, and that is at the very end of Parshas Balak. It says, Vayiyu hameisim b'magefa, how many from Shevet Shimon died? Arba'a v'yasrim, all of 24,000. Okay, so what are you going to do with that? So last year, by Reb Morty Jacob's bonfire, we spoke out from the Megala Amukos and from the Ramah Mipano that they draw. Were you there? You were there? Good. Good. Just check. What? You had a good time? You had a good time. So, So they draw a connection, that there is a connection between the 24,000 descendants of Shimon, from Shevet Shimon, led by who? Led by Zimri ben Salu, otherwise known as, who knows what Zimri's name was? Shlumiel ben Suri Shaddai. And these 24,000 descendants of Shimon, they died b'magefa, and the Arizal's Megala, and the Megala Mukos is Megala, and Ramami Pano's Megala, that somehow the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were the tikkun of the 24,000 descendants of Shimon who died b'magefa, and for whatever reason they were not able to be masake in the Aver of the B'nai Shimon, and they too died. Which gives us a completely different insight into what happened. We tend to think they died because Shulai Nohagu Kavod Zebazeh, which is, one would think that it's pretty severe because they were not Noy Kavod Zebazeh. They died so horribly. There's no Einish of Misa, Mibnei Shulai Nohagu Kavod Zebazeh. But now it's being revealed to us that they were brought back in this world to correct the Avera of the B'nai Shimon who committed Znus. For if they were not successful in being Masakin, so they too succumbed to the original Magefa that hit the B'nai Shimon. So it could be they didn't die because Shalai Noagu. They were given a chance to be Masakin. They blew the chance from B'nai Shalai Noagu. And Mamela, they also had that original Magefa. But the question is, what's the connection between the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva and the 24,000 descendants of Shimon? Like, what does one have to do with the other? The Rabbi Kiva didn't come from Shevet Shimon. How were these students in any way connected to the 24,000 Yidden who succumbed to the Magefa in the times of Shimon and Pinchas and Zimri and Kazbi? Okay, so tonight's Mythbuster. Ready, Yossi? Tonight's Mythbuster is as follows. Everybody's going to say, right? Bilam tried to curse Klal Yisrael, but he was what? He blessed them, right? That's what everybody learned in yeshiva. Nice try. That never happened. No. Ultimately, he cursed Klal Yisrael. What? But the pasuk says in Devarim that Hashem was ma'apich the klala to a bracha. So I don't know why this is one of the most misrepresented teachings. The Gemara Beferish says not like that. So let's read what the Gemara says. Exactly. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Kuf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara says, from the bracha that Bilam blessed, because if you read the Parsha, he didn't say one word of Klala. The whole Parsha is blessing. The whole Parsha is blessing. So the Gemara says, from the blessing that Bilam gave Klal Yisrael, we learn what he wanted to curse us. He wanted that we shouldn't have Bate Knesses and Bate Midrashas. So Hashem changed it to Matoy Voyelach Yaakov. The Gemara says, he wanted that Hashem should not be Shoyra Hashchina and Klal Yisrael. So he said, Mishkan Yisach Yisrael. He didn't want us to have Malchus. Instead he said, Kinecholam Nitayu. He didn't want us to have olives and vineyards. He said, no, Kiganos Alinar. He didn't want us to smell good. He said, no, like, Ayholim Nata Hashem. He didn't want us to have tall kings. He said, no, Ka'arozim Aleimayim. He didn't want us to have continuity of Malchus. He said, Yizamayim Midalya. He didn't want our Malchus to rule over the Goyim. He said, no, Vizar B'mayim Rabim. And so on and so forth and so on and so forth. Says the Gemara, every bracha that Bilam gave Klal Yisrael was transformed into a klala. He cursed Klal Yisrael. And it was Niskayim. Except for one. Says, what are you talking about? I thought the pasuk says Hashem was mahapich the bracha to klala, the klala to bracha. Exactly! He was mahapich one klala to a bracha. Not klalois lebrachas. Klala lebracha. But every other bracha was turned into a klala. Mefarish Gemara. The whole story that everybody thinks, Bilam blessed Klal Yisrael. He didn't bless Klal Yisrael. He cursed Klal Yisrael. Every blessing was Nishapich L'Klala except for one. Says the Gemara, Amar of Abba, Bar Kahana, Kulam Chazru L'Klala. Except for Batei Knesios, like the Pasuk says, Vayapach Hashem L'Kecha L'Chaz HaKlala. Klala V'Loi Klalais. Only one Klala was turned to Bracha. Everything else was ultimately transformed into a Klala. So now the question is, how was Bilam successful in Loyalenu cursing Klal Yisrael? What was his tactic? So we know he was being very unsuccessful in cursing us until he had an Einfall. What was the Einfall? He said, Elakeim shel elu soinei zima. God hates lewd behavior. If I get Klal Yisrael to be mezana, then I'll be successful in cursing. Now it's very interesting. With what nation did Bilam try to have us be mezana and have us be mezana? Mayav. Why Mayav? Why not North Koreans? Why not Japanese? Why Mayav? Why Mayav? So here's the site. Now we're going to understand the secret of the plan of Bilam. And we're going to understand the secret of Sfira. This is a soid in Sfira, which is kamat not never tapped into, and it's mamish a soid nifla. Mayav, the Arizal says, what's the numerical value of Mayav? Mem is 40, Vav is 6, Aleph is 1, Vez is 2. The gematria of Mayav is 49. Likewise, Rabbeinu Bechaye writes, Mayav is 49. In fact, this is used because we know Moshe Rabbeinu, even though the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Moshe Rabbeinu was given 49 gateways of wisdom. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Shenemar, Vatechasreu, Chamishim Shari Bino Nivru Va'olam, Vekulam Nitnu LeMoshe Chaser Bino Nivru Va'olam, Vekulam Nitnu LeMoshe Chaser Achas, Shenemar, Vatechasreu, Me'at Me'alaikim. But says the Shalach HaKadosh, in the name of that Ri, on Yom Achroin, Vayal Moshe Me'arvois Mayav. Moshe went up from the plains of Mayav, it's 49. El Har Nunbay. He went up to Har Nevoi. He went up to the 50th level. So Mayav is very often used to denote the number 49. Mayav is Avi Avois Klala. Mayav is the root of all Klala in the world. So Bilam, now, how much Klala is there? Everything in this world, in the physical world or in the spiritual world, is measured in basically numbers of 49. And the reason for that is because the physical world is in the context of 7. 7 it runs the gamut of the expansiveness of the physical world, the 7 days of the week. But the full gamut of what's contained in the context of this world is 7 to 7 times 7, 49. And the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world is Zel Umaze Asalikim. Whatever there is for evil, there is for good. Whatever there is for good, there is for evil. Right? Everything has to be balanced out. So there are 49 Koiches of Toma and there are 49 Koiches of Ra. Mayav is Avi Avois HaKlala. Mayav is the epitome of Kala. So Bilam says, if I want to make my curses successful, the best way to do that is not to get Klal Yisrael to be mezana with North Koreans, but to have them be mezana with the Avi Avois HaKlala, and that is Mayav Gematria 49. Why is Mayav the Avi Avois HaKlala? It's very interesting. Where does Mayav come from? A very interesting fellow. Your Zeda. Light. What does light mean? What's the Lashon of light? The Shlach HaKadosh writes, how do you say curse in Aramaic? Layit ole abaye. It's a layit. Light means klala. Light was the epitome of klala. And therefore he bore mayav 49, which is the root of klala, the root of curse, of aror. That's the lashon of light. Light is milashon layit. Look at number 21. I never knew this. The Shlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lech Lecha. It's a big side. He says, light lashon latusa. A lashon of a curse. Now, isn't that strange? Here you have a nice man by the name of David. He's Mashiach. And we say, you know, Mashiach, who's the Zeda? My Zeda? Mayav. Where did he come from? Can't really talk about it. And who is his Zeda? Light. I mean, he can't have better yichus. Why can't he, you know, why can't he come from a nice shalsheles of Torah, of tzaddikim? Why Mayav? Why light? The answer is like this. The Navi Tzefanya describes the job description of Mashiach. The Navi Tzefanya says in number 22, Paragimel and Pasuk Tes. By the way, Tzefanya was a Navi. Tzefanya is a sefer on the Trei Asar. The Trei Asar is one of the books of the Torah. You know, when God came down and He gave the Torah to Moses, He gave us 24 books called Tanakh. In the Nevi'im, there's something called Trei Asar. One of the Trei Asar is Tzefanya. Tzefanya says that the job of Mashiach is ki oz epoich el amim safa verura. Mashiach will transform the nations. Which means like this. Mashiach's job is to take the highest level corruption and turn it around. Mashiach is not going to come and preach to the choir. The job of Mashiach is to be mahapech. By the way, the Rambam writes in the censored in the uncensored Rambam. We don't have it in the regular Rambams. In the Shapsi Franco Rambam, they put it back in. The Rambam writes that the reason why God brought Christianity to the world is because this way, the nations of the world know there's something called Messiah. They know there's something called divine revelation. They just have a distorted view of it. And then the Mashiach could come along and flip it around. That what? Mashiach didn't come, but it's here now. That God did not change His mind. It's still He still has chosen Klal Yisrael. But the Rambam's bothered. Why can't Mashiach come? And why do we need false religions in the world? Why can't we just have a true religion and not everybody believes it? And then Mashiach will come and teach it. Because that's not the job description of Mashiach. Mashiach has to be mahapech people's mindset. The Ribbono Shel Olam intentionally created false religions so that Mashiach will come and flip it. Meaning, in other words, they have certain distorted viewpoints of the truth. And Mashiach will come and flip it around. That's what it says in the original uncensored edition of the Rambam Melachim. Okay, so be it as it may, since Mashiach will bring bracha to the world, Mashiach has to come from light, which is klala, mayav, which is klala. By the way, this also I was never familiar with. I saw a shla, an incredible shla. You know, Avram and light, it's very interesting. The first time you meet a Jew, Avram Avinu, in the three psukim later, he's taking this guy light with him. Like, we don't, there's no such thing as a yid, right? Avram Avinu, the Ramban says, was the first Jew. And within two psukim, he's taking this guy light with him. Who's light? Why is light brought in? Like, within seconds of being introduced to Avraham Avinu, light. Because if you have a klal yisrael, you need the potential for Mashiach. Light already comes to the scene, already from the first second, mitchilasai. So what does light do? Light, they go to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem comes to Avram, go to Eretz Yisrael. So they go to Eretz Yisrael. And Avraham Avinu's muzzling his animals. And light's not muzzling his animals. Because light's a smart guy. Light knows this land will eventually belong to us. So Avraham says to Light the following word, He pared na me'alai, separate from me. Im hasmoel ve'emina, ve'im hayamin vasmila. You go left, I go right. You go right, I go left. What word does Avraham use? He pared, separate. Interesting. We don't encounter that word again until Sefer Rus, where Rus tells Naomi, Ki hamaves yafrid beinu veinech. Only death will separate us. Says the Heilige Shla HaKadosh. Avram was telling Light, Light, what are you getting so carried away with Eretz Yisrael? This doesn't belong to you yet. Wait until your day comes when Mashiach ben David will come from you. Started out in Rus. The moment that Rus tells Nami, Ki amoves yafrid beinu veinech, that's when you'll be zoichet Eretz Yisrael. Wait until the next period. Now that this period, you don't deserve Eretz Yisrael yet. What Avram was signaling to Light is right now Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong. Just hold your horses. Wait until Rus tells Nami, Ki amoves yafrid beinu veinech. Unbelievable. Avram Avinu used that word, he pared na, as a signal. Light, wait until the next period. So all klal in the world was rooted in light, came forth from Mayav, 49 powers of klala emanating from Mayav. Bilam got the B'nai Shimon to be mezana with Mayav, and now the klala is chal. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, this would explain a very interesting Rashi in the Toichacha and Kisavai. Anybody know in the Torah, as an introduction to the Toichacha and Kisavai, we have Arur, Arur HaShemakariya Vasasar, Arur HaShalayakim Mitzvah Torah Zois. How many Arurim, how many curses? How many curses? 49, no. How many Arurim? 13, closer. 11. 11 curses. Says Rashi, Kenega the 11 Shvatim, right? Obviously, the 11 curses, Kenega the 11 Shvatim. You're good with that? What? There are 12 Shvatim. So Rashi says, Shimon doesn't need an Arur. Why doesn't Shimon need an Arur? Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, because Shimon already was Mazana with the Benois Mayav. Mayav is the epitome of Arur. Shimon already had an Arur. So the only, we didn't need an Arur for Shimon. Okay. So somehow by being Mazana with the Benois Mayav, they were affected by the Klala of Bilam. All Klala came from being connected to Mayav. But the truth is, in order for Mashiach to come, Mashiach needs to destroy Mayav. Because as we said, Mashiach is the Makar of Bracha. He has to be Mahapech, Mashiach, who descended from Light and from Mayav. He has to destroy Mayav. By the way, And we spoke about this last year, Lag BaOmer, but we're just going to touch on it now very briefly. We know that in this same Tekufa that Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 students died, you know, let's just speak out. This, we're now in the Zman of Avelos. Why? Because 24,000 students died. I don't understand. Today was the death of Yeshua ben Nun. We don't have Avelos. You know, every day is another yahrzeit of a big tzaddik. Yeshua ben Nun was greater than any of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. Why don't we have Avelos for him?
No Talmidim.
His only what?
The Rebbe is we celebrate, and the Talmidim we cry.
You know? Okay, it's a Chassidish Shazach, right? So, there's a rule, we only have Avelos for Churban Beis HaMikdash. Why do we have Avelos for the death of the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva? We have Avelos for Nadav Aviyu. A lot of Yidden have died throughout the ages. We don't have Avelos. You have Avelos if you lose a close relative. But when Adam or Tzaddik dies, there's no Avelos. Why Dafka the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva? Because of the numbers? Just because of the numbers? So Moshe Shapiro says like this. There's something else that happened during that time. Rabbi Akiva, besides being the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, what did he do on the side? He carried suitcases. He was a schlepper. Whose suitcases did he carry? He carried the suitcases of Bar Kochba. Rabbi Akiva paskined that Bar Kochba was Mashiach. He carried Bar Kochba's. Rabbi Akiva, the Yushalmi, says in number 28, Tani Shimon ben Yochai, Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, my Rabbi, Hoya Doresh, he darshan, look at number 27. There's a nevuah, I see Mashiach, but not now. I gaze at him, but he's not close. A star will emanate from Yaakov. Rabbi Akiva said, who's the star that emanates from Yaakov? Bar Kochba! And Rabbi Akiva paskin Bar Kochba's Mashiach. And there's a man by the name of Yochanan ben Toirasa, who, by the way, if you look in the humble book, Magid HaRakia, there's a chapter on Yochanan ben Toirasa, the Gilgal of Achashverosh. Yochanan ben Toirasa told Rabbi Akiva that you're making a mistake, grass will grow in your mouth before this guy's Mashiach. That's the Lashon the Yushalmi uses. But Rabbi Akiva paskin bar kochba is Mashiach. So the kasha is, how could Rabbi Akiva have made a mistake? You know, one thing, you know, throughout history, there are many false messiahs. There have been already 20 false messiahs in our history. But Rabbi Akiva? Halacha k'Rabbi Akiva? The answer is, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva? Bar kochba was Mashiach. The only thing was, because his students were not Noi Kavaz Elazeh, Bar Kochba died. So we weren't Zaycha to Mashiach. So what Beis HaMikdash wasn't built? The third. So the same way we have 3 weeks because the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we have 49 days because the third Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But even it wasn't built, exactly. That's like a Chorban, Ramosha Shapiro says. The Yimei Sfira is Yimei Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because we destroyed Bar Kochba. Rabbi Akiva wasn't mistaken about Bar Kochba, he got it right. The 24,000 students, now listen carefully. The 24,000 students came back to this world to overcome the klala of Mayav. When Rabbi Akiva darshan the pasuk, Darach Kochav Miyakov, the pasuk continues. One last thing Mashiach needs to do to confirm that he's Mashiach. Umachatz Pasei Mayav. He has to wipe out the governors of Mayav. So in order for someone really to be Mashiach, you need to overcome 49. These students were given the opportunity to be Mesakein. How they were given this opportunity, we don't exactly know. How they could have been Mesakein, that's Lamala Mehasogaseinu. Why? Because they were not Noi Kavazelazeh, they failed. That's also above and beyond our comprehension. But one thing we know, that they were given that opportunity. These 24,000 sons of Rabbi Akiva were the tikkun of the Bnei Shimon who were Mezana with Maya 49. Says Hagoyin Rav Moshe Shapiro, if these 24,000 students died during Sfira, you know why they died during Sfira? Because the 49 days of Sfira must be the designated 49 days a year to overcome the 49 koichos of Klala that exist in Mayav. And these 49 koichos of Klala that exist in Mayav killed 24,000 descendants of Shimon. And if these 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva were able to be Mesakein, and they didn't, then they will succumb during what time of the year? During the Yimei Sfira. The Yimei Sfira are the 49 days of the year that have the possibility to overcome the curse of Mayav. And if we don't overcome the curse of Mayav, then those who have the opportunity to be Mesakein will succumb during this time. This is one of the most tragic periods of the year throughout history. Not only students of Rabbi Akiva, All the crusades, first and second, occurred during the Yemei Sfirah. We spoke about it last year. Why? Because these 49 days are the power of Mayav that could be overcome. Now, this is Mamish Oyam and Oyam. If we're successful in overcoming Mayav during this time of the year, when do you think Mashiach will be born? When we're done. On the 50th day of the Omer. Wow, what a coincidence. What day was David HaMelech born? On the Yom Chamishim, the 50th day, because David was the true Mashiach. The true Mashiach is able to be Machatz Pa'asei Mayav, and by overcome, by counting the Yemei Sfira, that means the job of Sfira is to overcome Klala and to bring the world somehow into the state of Bracha and to overcome the Klala of Light and Mayav. Is there any coincidence then that the pinnacle of the Yemei Sfira are Megillas Rus and the birth of David HaMelech? When it's all said and done, what we're aiming for, what we're yearning for, what we're counting toward is Ve'ayved hoylid es Yishai, ve'yishai hoylid es David. That's the crescendo of the Yemei Sfira, the Leda of Mashiach ben David. If I could remind you of a Dover Nifla that we said over from the Imre Yosef of Spinka, it's Mamish Begeder Ruach HaKodesh. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Pinchas was standing there. By the way, the Ramami Pano says Rabbi Kiva was the Gilgal of Zimri himself. That Pinchas was standing there as Zimri is living with Cosby, who, by the way, Cosby came back as the Gilgal of Eshes Rabbi Akiva. And Pinchas didn't do anything at first. Not until Zimri tired out from living with Cosby. Says the Gemara, how many Be'ilois was Zimri Boyal Cosby? The Gemara says, a Dover Nifla, 424 times, and then he tired out, and then Pinchas killed him. Manoimar Manada, what's that supposed to mean? 424. How's that possible? So the Imre Yosef brings down from Reb Chaim Vital that heaven forbid to read any episode in the Chumash simply that these great figures were debased, or lowly, or lewd. He says, Chas v'shalom was Zimri just a parutz. But they're dvarim amukim amukim. But we don't know what they are. So the Imre Yosef says, in my humble opinion, I'll tell you what it was. The same way, we had a tradition that there was a spark of Mashiach that was laying dormant in Mayav. And that's why Rus went to Bayaz, Bachatzi HaLaila, and Bayaz recognized that this spark of Malchus Reis David, lay dormant in Rus. Zimri, the Nasi, the Gadol B'Yisrael, he mistakenly detected, likewise, that this dormant spark lay in this woman, Cosby. And he was trying to bring Mashiach. And that's why the Gematria 424 is Mashiach ben David. Now don't try that at home. Mashiach ben David. You know, you can't use Gematria, but says the Imre Pincha, Yosef, this was the Kavana of Zimri. So we see that there was some type of awareness that on the one hand, Bilam understood that through Mayav it will inject the 49 koichas of Latusa and Klal Yisrael. And on the other hand, the Nasi B'Yisrael erred and somehow thought that he could overcome it and rise above it, rise above the 49, 424, B'Gematria Mashiach ben David. Says Rav Moshe Shapiro, is there any coincidence then? What do we have to get out of the way before the Yom Tov of Shavuos? The Klalos. How many Klalos do we read in B'chukosai? The 49 Klalos in B'chukosai. There are 98 Klalos in Kisabai, but we lay 49 Klalos in B'chukosai. Why do we lay it? Because the Avodah of the Yemei HaSfira is to somehow overcome the level of Klala that Bilam was successful in placing in the world in Klal Yisrael, in the Bnei Shimon, Umisham L'chol Yisrael, through the Znus of Mayav, which emanated from light. And therefore, before Shavuos begins, we say, Tich L'shana M'kil Yisrael, we have to read the 49 curses of the Teichacha. Says Hagon Ramosha Shapiro, perhaps this explains the unique Shita, the Machzer Vitri, and the and the Chayk Yaakov and the Ber Hetev, that when it comes to the mitzvah of Sfira, it's different than every other mitzvah. When it comes to the mitzvah of Sfira, the mitzvah is not just a count, but perhaps there's an idea that the bracha is part of the mitzvah. Why would the bracha be part of the mitzvah? So he says, Apim Achshava, where the avoda of Sfira is to overcome the 49 powers of Mayav, of Klala, that were injected into the world through the Znus of the Bnei Shimon, which had an opportunity to be misakin through the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. The avoda of Sfira is to overcome that klala. Therefore, the mitzvah is not just merely counting. The mitzvah is to bring bracha, to draw bracha. The Nefesh HaChaim writes, bracha is milashon brecha, a pool, to draw forth the shefa. So the avoda of Sfira is not just to count, but to juxtapose the counting to bracha. The bracha becomes part of the mitzvah to the extent that the Machzavitri paskins, that even if you counted without a bracha, you could then count again with a bracha. Because the bracha is not just a bracha mitzvah, the bracha is actually part of the kiyam mitzvah. And perhaps that's the explanation for those who are noig to say shehayoyim yoyim rishon la'omer. Because again, we're connecting the sfira itself to the bracha. But ultimately, the avoda of counting during sfira is to combat the churban. There's a churban of third base of Mikdash, which Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim Paskin, that Bar Kochva was going to do it. So it wasn't just the death of the 24,000 students of Rebbe Kiva, but their death made it that Bar Kochva's plans were frustrated, and we didn't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we didn't have Malchus Beis David. But as we count the Yimei HaOmer, we are sort of counting toward that great conception and Leda of Oyved Hoyled Es Yishai, the Yishai Hoyled Es David, we should talk about Zoicha through our Kiyam HaMitzvahs of Sfira, that Hashem should be reckoned, Kilo Kiyam Tia, B'chol Pratea, B'dikdukea, B'kam Naseh, V'shvizoicha, to the real Geula, V'yasko El Tzedek. Amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.